What a great guest we have this morning. She's a triple threat. Probably more than that. I'm sure there's other skills. You know, when you meet talented, smart people, they're good at stuff. It's depressing.
I don't know where they get the time, some of these people.
Exactly.
The time in a day.
She's a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
She's a chef. And she's an author. Her cookbook is called Indian Apps and Chutneys. Also by day, she helps people in the world of personal injury law. She is the woman behind Jasmine Dia and Co. She is Jasmine Dia. Jasmine.
Thank you.
Jasmine.
Thank you for inviting me. It's great to be here.
Well, it's good to have you here. You mentioned, Council, that you had done some research about us. Had you, when you were booked on the program, had you never heard of the world-famous Humble and Fred show?
I don't know if I should answer that.
No, go ahead.
What's the question, Counselor?
Yeah.
You're under oath.
Am I under oath? I didn't swear in. What are you talking about?
Well, it's implicit.
Sustained.
When you walk in this door...
I have an issue. I'm an honest lawyer, believe it or not. So you can see that I was not too familiar with your program.
That's
however,
fine. I'd never heard of you until this morning.
Okay, well,
so we're even,
yes. My husband, however, mocked me because he's like, how have you not heard of them? What are you talking about?
What's his name?
His name is Steven.
He's a visionary.
I'll let him know you said that. We'll have to agree to disagree. Probably not. He's dropping the kids to school.
Is he a lawyer as well?
No.
Oh.
No, he's a producer.
Oh.
What does he produce?
Children.
I'm going to say it, and he's going to kill me, but he produces The Naked News.
Get out!
Yeah, we have a long history with that outfit.
Do you? We should have some of their guests over here.
We've had them on the show.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, years ago when we were doing the show at the Edge, when Naked News first started.
I know this is about you, but you brought it up. Naked News, I was surprised it's, given the world we live in now, it's still around and it still thrives?
Well, it's mostly online based now.
No.
So it's still thriving because
it's
streaming
started.
Worldwide.
Yeah.
So, yes.
It's just a sub. It's so easy to see naked people on, but the naked people reading the news is different.
That is different. Although you can Google that as well. Let's not talk about Steve. Let's talk about counselor, author, chef. Obviously a very nice person.
Oh, thank you.
And what is it now? Are you here to talk about Indian apps and chutneys, or do you want to talk about personal injury law?
Whatever you want to talk about is what we're going to talk about.
But I would ask, you're a lawyer, you're an author, you're a chef. When do you get time for your afternoon nap?
Afternoon nap.
Yeah. When do you want?
I'm not
old
enough for that.
6 hours of Netflix whilst being medicated.
Like,
and
how do you
freezes.
Do that?
I didn't know that was a thing.
It is a thing.
Am I it's old enough
thing.
To do that?
Well, we are.
Oh.
So here's the thing. We're both, amateur chefs and interested in cooking. Fred's more familiar with Indian cooking than I am. I love Indian cooking. I just have said this before. I'm often intimidated by what I should be ordering. But what do we see inside of Indian apps and chutneys? Will I learn to make Indian apps and chutneys?
That's the intention behind
the
book. The hope is, yes, it will get people in the kitchen and spice it up a little bit.
Right.
The very easy recipes, easy to follow, pretty pictures. I also have, if you go to Instagram, all the pictures are there, all the wonderful appetizers that I've made, and the recipes, as I said, are in the book. I have a website, jdinthekitchen.com, and if you go there, there's simple, easy recipes, tips and tricks to balance a busy career and making food for your friends and family. So, yeah, it's all there if you're ready for it.
I think Amanda mentioned this last week, our producer. Was this to coincide with Diwali?
The book,
is that over? Are we current still in that?
Diwali was last week.
Oh, okay.
The book coincidentally came out around the same time. It was not planned.
It just
happened to get published around the same time. It all worked itself out.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, that being a celebration where a lot of, almost like... can I, Christmas, where people get together and families and food? And
the Indian culture is all about bringing people together. Food does that. Mm-hmm. Food has a way of, you know, bringing friends and family together. Everyone enjoys it. And food is how you express love for people. So that's one of the things that I love. I love having good food at my house. I love hosting dinner parties and having friends over. And I find, as I said, that food does that.
So when you have friends over, would it be almost exclusively or more often than not Indian food?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
I actually have only made Indian food for my friends once, and it was quite recent. And these are very good friends of mine for many years. And they asked me, how come you've never made us Indian food? You have an Indian cookbook. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It just never dawned on me to do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but why? Why?
Why hadn't I made it?
Well, you do a cookbook.
I know, right?
Friends come over, and what do you do? Hey, why don't we do a stir fry?
Yeah, exactly. Steak, stir fry, pad thai. I don't know.
But tell me, is it intimidating? I mean, I was just looking up. I watched this show the other day on Netflix. The lady that did Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat. I'm trying to remember her name. Simi? Doesn't matter.
But I started watching one of those. I know what you're talking about.
What I liked about it was, you know, I love cooking shows. I love cooking documentaries or whatever. I was a big Bourdain fan, and I've watched a lot of stuff on Netflix. And what I liked about her show is that they were simple ideas, and it wasn't intimidating. A little bit out, some of the things were a little bit more, you know, maybe a little bit adventuresome for me, but not so intimidating that I didn't think I could make them. Is that what I would find in Indian apps and chutneys?
Not in book one. I have other books coming down where it may be a little bit more intimidating for you. But
that's what I'm saying, so less intimidating.
Yeah, appetizers. Yeah. I started with that book because I thought it was a good way to get people in the kitchen trying new things, much easier than entrees, for example.
So what are some of the things that you would have us learn to cook?
So there is a potato, imagine scalloped potatoes.
Yes.
And you batter them, you fry them, and they taste so good.
Battered
and fried. You can't stop eating.
Yeah. And what's that called?
It's called Ismailia Bhajia.
I love it.
Yes.
A lot of Indian food, you know, my mouth started to water. Near my house, we have this Indian takeout counter, and it's just, all the stuff there is just so fantastic, and there's a product similar to that. Delicious. I guess it is that. Indian food, there's a lot of curry used.
Yes.
It's very, what's intimidating, I think, with a lot of those recipes is cooking curry into food has to be done right, or you screw everything up. You know what I mean?
True.
If it's too hot and it burns.
I think the other thing that intimidates people is that there's so many spices and you're not usually familiar with all these spices.
Right, yeah.
So I have the simple solution. I created a mini spice package line so that you don't have to go to the grocery store
and buy. You created it? Is this in between writing books and raising kids and lawyering and chutneying?
You know, when you love everything you do, it's not work.
No, you're right.
Yeah. So
you're
right. I just love everything I'm working on.
I love my afternoon nap.
Yes, so you understand that.
I love getting high and watching Netflix.
You can relate. You can totally relate
that. That's what I do. That's my thing.
So I created these mini spice packages so that people don't have to go to the grocery store and buy huge packages when they're going to use it for one recipe.
That's a great idea.
When I first met Fred, his mother-in-law, they're South African, and I remember Fred gave me some of his mother-in-law's curry, her spice, and all her spices were in it. And
she blends them.
She blended them herself. Mm-hmm. And but one of the tricks, and again, I'm not great at it yet, but one of the things I learned a long time ago is about frying the spice into the food a certain way.
That's key.
That's key. So that, and now in Indian apps and chutneys, see how I keep mentioning the book?
Yes, I like that.
That's because I'm super professional. Is that, do we learn those techniques? Because there's some, it's not just about the spice, it's about the method.
So this book with the appetizers, we're not even getting there yet. Mm. You don't even have to do that yet. That's in the entrees.
Okay.
The appetizers are even more simple than that. Mm-hmm. And again, that's why I started with that one. Not only is it how you start your meal, but it also is a starter book for people to try. Like chutneys, for example, my recipes, you throw everything into a blender or to a bullet or whatever you want, puree the ingredients, boom, done. So easy.
Nice.
Do you deal with sweets at all too?
I have a sweet dish book in the works.
Do you really?
Yes.
Of course she does.
We often get the, what do you call the little balls, gullibunjabi or whatever, what's it called? You know, the little honey balls?
Oh, gulab jamun.
Oh, gulab jamun.
Gulab jamun.
I knew it was something along those.
What did you call it?
They're sweet balls of goodness.
Yeah. Sweet balls.
Ooh. I know where your mind is.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think
Naked
you do.
News.
I don't think you do. They're certainly not on Fred's balls. Anyhow, so what part of your day, if we may just transition from Indian apps and chutneys and talk about the type of law you do, and you know, a lot of people, you know, they what do they call the Sumi states? But in Canada, personal injury law, how does it differ from the states in terms of someone being injured and automatically able to sue?
Personal injury law in Canada is very different than the United States. The awards you get here for damages are significantly lower than in the United States, first of all. Second of all, there's all sorts of people that do personal injury. There are some that, you know, practice very much like in the U.S. and they sue for everything. And then there are some lawyers who are more particular and have niche areas. And that is what I do. I choose my clients wisely and sue for people who I believe have genuine cases and really need my help.
So you say the awards in Canada are significantly lower than the states. What?
That's legislated almost,
that
isn't
is.
It?
So yeah. give us some, you know, in the states you can sue for whatever you can get. What are we allowed to sue for here? And what would be a larger award in a personal injury case?
Okay, so according to the Supreme Court of Canada, for general damages for pain and suffering, you're capped at, it was $300,000, and with inflation, it's around $330,000, $350,000.
But what if I've suffered $375,000? What if I fail?
You don't get that, sorry. But you've got also, we've got auto insurance. And auto insurance, I don't know if you've looked at your policy limits, people generally don't really look until someone tells them to, or mm-hmm. they're in an accident.
It's $1 million usually, isn't
usually
it?
It's $1 million. But if you've got $1 million coverage and someone is injured by you and they have, you know, issues, income loss claims and future cost of care claims and those things that are larger than the million, well, they're kind of SOL, they're in trouble here.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they supposed to get the money? I don't know if you have savings beyond your $1 million.
In insurance.
So if you've got $1 million and their claim is worth $2 million, well, the insurance is only going to pay them $1 million.
So they can go after you for the rest?
They can go after you personally, but it's very rare for that to occur.
But you just said $300,000, so...
So that's your pain and suffering is $300,000.
Oh, okay.
Maximum, but that would be the worst case scenario.
But you're saying your insurance company can give you $1 million on top of that?
No.
No?
It's all included. So you've got different claims. So you've got pain and suffering, you've got income loss claims, you've got future cost of care claims, out-of-pocket expenses. So you have various different heads of damages.
You know, y'all, you hear these commercials on the radio
yes.
for personal injury lawyers saying, you know, we don't get paid unless you get paid. You know that guy?
Yes.
I find him irritating. Anyway, but that's just me.
There's more than one of those.
No,
guys.
But you know that guy.
And they're all kind of irritating.
So my question is, what should a person do, before a person comes to see you, the honest personal injury lawyer, you know, what would you have them, like, how injured do you have to be? Like, if somebody doesn't brush the snow away from their in front of their business and you fall and break your leg, do I have a case?
Yes. You've got a case. It's more the...
What can I get for a broken leg?
It depends. Did you need surgery? Did you not need surgery? Did you have hardware inserted? Does it have to be removed?
Oh, I can't.
There's so many factors that go into it.
Is that 67,000? What is that, 100?
It could be 30. It could be 100.
Is there a straight fee that you charge people, or do
yes.
you get a percentage of their?
So I get a percentage. It's contingency fee based. The good news is you never have to pay me an hourly rate or by the minute, I should say.
This don't pay or you don't pay us till we get paid. That's relatively new to Canada, right?
That's right.
Because how long ago was it that lawyers couldn't do that?
So contingency fee arrangements only became allowed in the 2000s.
So yeah, I thought so.
That's right. And so before that, I think it was still happening. I wasn't practicing. I was too young. So
we know.
Sorry.
The early 2000s.
Yeah, can't really go before that. But people were apparently still doing contingency fee arrangements, but it was illegal. You're supposed to be charging by the minute.
Wait a second. Lawyers were doing something illegal.
I know. Shocking. Huh? Just like advertising, the Law Society deregulated advertising. So in case you're wondering why you see all these billboards everywhere, it's because before you weren't allowed to advertise.
The concern, isn't there a concern being able to do business that way now? People are a lot more inclined to go to you because it's not going to cost them anything until they get paid. So now, as a reaction by the insurance companies, it's like the American system of deny every claim and work backwards. Is that what we're dealing with in Canada now?
Yes. It's sort of tipped in that direction a bit, but you have to look at it from the other perspective. Someone who's genuinely significantly injured, who may not have the means to hire a lawyer, pay an upfront retainer, pay by the minute, you know, this gives them access to justice. It really enables them to pursue their claim. And people come to me in their greatest time of need. They usually have lost their job or can't, like, because they can't work because of their injury. So they can't afford a lawyer. You know, they're just trying to provide for their family, put food on the table.
From first visit, I'm sorry,
you know, I was just saying, whether you take that case is based on likelihood of winning. Obviously, people walk in and you go, I can't win this case. I'm sorry, I can't help
if
you.
They have a legitimate claim. Then I believe I can win it, or at least I will pursue it till the end.
Right.
And so I was going to ask two questions. One, who are you? Are you there on their behalf to sue their insurance company to give them more money or to give them any money?
It could be their insurer. So if they're denied disability benefit through their own insurer, for example, then yes, I would sue their insurer.
But generally, you're suing the person that injured me.
I'm suing the person, but I don't go after people personally,
their insurance
company. Exactly.
So from first visit, second question, which I was going to ask first, which is now the second question. From first visit to a check, generally, is that a long time? Is it a few months? Could it be? I know it could be years, but what is typical?
Okay. So as you said, it could be a few months. It could go on for years. You know, at most at my firm, we're looking at 5 years, but that's because of red tape with courts, not because of us. Generally, I'm trying to turn my files within 2 to 3 years.
Well, the reason I asked that question is because of your fee contingency. What was the phrase you used?
Contingency fee.
Contingency fee. You have to have a lot of cases that are in various stages to make it make sense, because some of them won't settle for a couple
exactly.
of years.
From a business perspective, there's no point in having money on the shelves. It needs to be in my clients' pockets and in mine.
So there's a lot of horrible stories of people being injured. So if it takes 2 or 3 years, let's say 2 years, and they can't work, that's a lot of hurt. Like, there's a lot of people in rough situations.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So if you're involved in an auto accident, then you'll have access to your own insurance benefits, and you will have something called income replacement benefit, typically. But that's a maximum of $400 per week, and most people aren't surviving off that.
No.
So, yeah, there is a lot of hardship.
And you know, it's true what you say, too. You know, when it comes to your insurance policy, I mean, I've taken it upon myself to get into a little more. Even with home insurance, I find that I'm phoning them because I review the policy and I think I don't understand a lot. So I literally phone and ask questions.
As you should. That's great.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't.
No, they don't. You're right. That's why I'm saying that's fantastic that you do.
Because, well, he does a lot of stuff like that.
No, I know. But the thing is that I just make little notes along the way because, I mean, right down to, you know, people... Insurance when you're driving a rental car and all that, people just have no idea whether they have that or they don't have that, or the little cost that it is to put that in. So you should be aware of all
and
that.
You know what's great for me is because whenever I have an insurance question, I just ask my boy. I say, hey, am I insured when I go to the States tomorrow?
Well, it's good that you have each other then.
Exactly. Jasmine Daya and Co. is the law firm. Indian Apps and Chutneys is the cookbook. And the chick book, as you called it. What did you call it?
I have a chick lit.
Chick lit.
What's that?
It's women's literature.
It is women's literature. That's correct. Chick-lits. But it's got a fun, entertaining spin to it. So I have a book called Law Girls Bump in the Road.
And what's that about?
It's about a girl who got knocked up in law school.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Is this based on anyone we know?
Perhaps it is.
Cool. Does it bother you that your husband's around naked women all day?
No. He gets me. Why would I care?
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's confidence. Yeah,
no, I was going to say. Look what he's coming home to.
Yeah.
Seriously. And I don't even know where this is along the spectrum of what's allowed, but if I may say, and with all respect of a, you know, old man, gender man, when you walked in, I said, wow, there's a place. It didn't smell as good before Jasmine came in. So on top of everything else, Jasmine, whatever the olfactory... That is, it's amazing.
Thank you.
Where is your practice?
At Young and St. Clair.
Ooh. Oh, we used to work over there.
Mm-hmm. It's a great location, yes. But, you know, if people need us in other areas, we're more than willing to go out to them.
Well, what a...
very enlightening.
We learned a lot. We learned a lot today. And now you did your research, you said, when you came in about, even though your husband, what's his name?
Steven.
Brilliant man, Steve. He a big fan of the show, obviously.
Do you think Steven would come in one day and tell us about producing
I'm sure
Naked
we
News?
Would love that.
I'm sure he would.
Like we've done
I'm
the
coming back, too. What are you talking about? I'm going to come with
what's
him.
What's he doing tomorrow? Because we'll bring him in tomorrow to talk about Naked News.
Because years ago we had the women on, and it would be more interesting, I think, to talk about the guy who produces Naked News. And
sir, we had them on when they first launched.
And did they come in naked?
Somebody was naked. Anyway,
I'm
tell
sure
Steve.
We could arrange
we'd
for
love
him.
That. Before you leave, we'll take some pictures. We're going to go to a break soon. And then we would get Steve's information. And you can come back with Steve if you want.
I'm coming back.
So I was going to ask you. You did some research. You found out the nonsense that goes on here.
Yes.
I wouldn't call it nonsense. The 30-year career based on one fart joke.
And what is your perspective on not really knowing us, then doing research? If somebody said... You know, write a paragraph. What would you write?
Well, I was impressed by your career and how long you've been doing this and how you still enjoy what you're doing. Mm. And I think that that is inspiring.
Well, thank you. We are inspiring people.
Do you appreciate the fact that the business sort of banished us, kicked us to the curb?
I did see something like that.
And we
got fired a lot.
And we've created this. We own all this stuff.
That chair you're sitting in, we own it.
And they couldn't keep us down. 50-50. We kept our voices out there.
No, I saw that. Mm-hmm. I saw everything. I read everything. I always do my research before I meet people. And I was, as I said, I'm impressed with what you've done over the years. I think it's fabulous that you've continued to pursue what you enjoy despite what others have tried to do to you.
Oh.
So you need to keep it up.
Do you have a photographic memory?
What? Let her go on with more of that stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry.
Do you have a photographic memory?
No.
I thought a lot of lawyers sort of, but you can read.
My head is full. I don't have a lot of space for retention.
No, but you, as a lawyer, you got to read and retain, don't you?
I retain everything about my cases,
but
your careers,
why did you ask that?
You know, because she said she did some research last night, and she seems to have a lot of detail.
Can we
on
get
us.
Back to the part where she tells us how visionary we are?
Oh, okay.
Well, listen, Jasmine, Daya, Indian apps and chutneys available where people buy books. In stores and online, I'm assuming. And do you have a website you would like people to go to after this visit?
JDinthekitchen.com.
JD in the kitchen.
Or you can go to JasmineDaya.com. That has everything there and routes you to whichever company you need to go to. But
well, I will just tell you something you already know, but we appreciate you coming in. Maybe you didn't know that part. But you're a fascinating, intelligent, sweet, kind lawyer, author, cook, mother, wife, humanitarian. You smell great.
I don't
think there's a lot of stuff going on.
I don't think I'm leaving. I'm just going to continue to sit here and listen.
And
thank
Steve
you.
Let's get the Steve man in here.
And both Howard and I, we're really into television production. If Steven could somehow let us just come in and see his facility, his production facility.
What do you need, Steven? I can take you. Let's go.
Just to see, technically what goes on there.
I'm thinking of starting my own network. It's called Naked Jews. And it's awesome. It's just a bunch of us old Jews sitting around going, I don't know what the news is. Why are you looking?
Have you ever been to the facility?
Oh, yeah. I'm there all the time.
Oh, are you? Well, my goodness.
Well, there you go. Anyway, you're Jasmine Daya, and I think a wonderful appearance on the show. Great job.
Thank
I have
you.
Nothing else for you. I guess we got to take a break here in a minute and 60 seconds. Well, we'll tell you what we'll do. In 30 seconds, what is your final message to the people?
Well, first, I want to thank you both for having me on your show. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate it. In terms of your listeners, I think you're listening to the right guys. And in terms of me, if you need anything in terms of a personal injury lawyer, please feel free to contact us. It's jdlawyers.ca.
There you go.
Well, thank you for coming.
Well said, well spoken. Nice.
Thank you.
And we'll have some pictures of Jasmine on our Facebook page and all the other stuff. You have a chance to, you know, and check her out on all our websites and the cooking. 1-833-437-8465. You can talk.